Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everybody. This is Stephen McCarthy, your host of the McCarthy Project, where we have been attacking life and sport since 2001. Welcome to the show today. We have Sean Goodsell, who is going to be our regular Friday guest. And today we're going to be talking about the principles of high impact coaching. And I do not think this is necessarily a new subject for our listeners, but I think Sean's viewpoints and methodologies will be a big benefit to every coach at pretty much every level. I think the youth level, you know, there always is room for improvement, as in a lot of cases it's just simply some dads that decided, hey man, they needed a coach. And even at the high school, college level, and pro levels, we always hear about how the great coaches are masters at studying people and motivating and figuring out personalities and how they work together, what's their strengths, what their weaknesses are, and all those different keys to success. And so I really do feel that this subject applies to pretty much every coach, and I think it would be a great benefit for anybody listening to kind of implement some of the ideas that Sean's going to be sharing with us today. So with that, we're going to kind of move over to an announcement that we make, or that we like to make, is that we are announcing today that we are the Nature Valley Grand Prix Internet Radio Show and Content Provider, and I should say the official Internet Radio Show and Content Provider. That's a big, long title. But anyways, I am just really looking forward to working with Dave Laporte and Jason Lardy over there. They have put on a fantastic race for a very, very long time here in Minnesota. It's one of the top races in the nation. We are very excited to take that title. We're going to be, not only are we going to have some guests on the show that are going to be part of the race, but we'll be talking about some current events that are going on around the race, some sponsors, talk about the different motivations, as well as we'll be providing some content in the area of training and nutrition for their blog. If you would like more information on them, it is Nature Valley Grand Prix Bicycle Festival.com. And they have all the information, not only on the race, but also different events for the family, and really they've done a tremendous job over the years kind of expanding the visibility of the race and what it means to the community as a whole. So, and the Lighthouse Group, I think, fantastic as far as what I've seen so far. So we're looking forward to talking with those guys as well. So with that, we'll go into our first commercial for the day, and then we'll be back to kind of lay the groundwork, and then Sean will be coming on the show to talk about some principles of high-impact coaching.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps, endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5 Star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com. We are excited to offer the following products on the McCarthystore.com. Innovate Running Shoes, the leader in barefoot and natural running technology. We carry the full line of sizes and colors. Berkey Water Filters, the leader in anti-gravity water filtration. For more information, visit themccarthyproject.com or go directly to the McCarthy Project Store website. That's www.themccarthyprojectstore.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, where we have been attacking life and sports since 2001. And I think today's show is the essence of what we want to be as a talk show. We want to be able to provide the world tools that they can use to solve problems, not just simply be the cause of problems or to dramatize the world to the point where the problem becomes so big that that's all you want to do is talk about the problem. And so we are here to bring some detailed principles that you can take in and use to apply to your life, apply to sport, to become more efficient at what you do, become a better coach, become a better dad. I mean, this really has far-reaching capabilities. So today's subject is going to be principles of high-impact coaching. And just to kind of lay the groundwork before we bring Sean on is that I think in today's society, coach has such – there are almost every dad that I know would like to be a coach in some way, either being a leader in the business community or being a leader in youth sports, or maybe they're actually on the field or in the gym as a coach. I think it's something that probably innately comes out of being a dad. You know what I mean? I know there's a lot of ladies as well. Again, they want to pass along the wisdom that they have, the wisdom that they've garnered over the years. And it seems to me that there's a big disconnect between those two, is that we have this big desire to teach. We have this desire to lead. We have the desire to give the kids the information. But our delivery, what the message we're sending is different than what our intentions are. And I found this to be true in my life, is that as a young coach, when my son and my daughter got into house basketball, it became win at all costs, and I wouldn't say win at all costs. I thought I always had some semblance of balance, but I always wanted to win, And I think that that's a great thing, but I always had to remember to bring back that there was a development and there was a social aspect, and as I've gotten older, I started to see that a little better. So what we're going to talk about today is the arena of coaching and what principles you can put into play, because today the power-tripping, overzealous coach is a major problem, in the United States today, in our society, because so many coaches have watched and maybe been raised on Bobby Knight, or they see, Nick Saban, win national title after national title, and we hear that he's just he brings the heat, as far as that's concerned. And you sit there and hear about all these different things, and I think each situation does come down to a personality in some way, and that you need to have an understanding of who you are. If you're that type of leader, yes, you can stand up and say, we're going this way. But when you start to demean and you start to push too hard at a too young of age, I don't think you develop the love of the game. And that's the piece that I'm thinking that we want to kind of get out today, is the love of the game. How do you create this environment in which athletes can come in and enjoy themselves, whether they're their number 8, number 9 on a team of 10, or they're the number 1 player? How do you create that atmosphere so that they want to come back and they want to do what you ask? And I think, I think of Phil Jackson. You always hear about and Pat Riley, and they played all these mental games with people. And you know, to a certain point, you don't see many coaches at the pro level getting up and yelling a lot. You know, and maybe they do in the locker rooms, which I'm sure they do, and maybe in practice for sure. But you lead in a different way. You lead by giving information that's high quality, not by trying to impose your will upon the players. Because, you know, it may work for a season, but I know that what I've seen is that athletes will rebel, you know, eventually. They're not interested in being told that they're not doing as well as they should, that they're not doing the things that you want, and telling them in a high-volume way how they need to suck it up or they're not going to be playing, or threatening that they won't be on the team anymore if you continue this direction. And so I think there really is a balance between the aspect of a power-tripping, win-at-all-costs, dominant, domineering coach. And that could be either for a male or a female. It doesn't have to be a male coach. But we have to find a way to kind of put this all together and bring about some changes in how we go about it. Now, we may have a personality, like my personality is a little bit different than probably yours. So that you do have to realize that there's going to be a style piece in here, and that there are more principles, and how do you apply them to your team. So that's kind of the lay of the groundwork. We're going to a quick break, and then we'll be back to continue our discussion on the principles of high-impact coaching.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps. Endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com. We are excited to offer the following products on themccarthystore.com. Innovate Running Shoes, the leader in barefoot and natural running technology. We carry the full line of sizes and colors. Berkey Water Filters, the leader in anti-gravity water filtration. For more information, visit themccarthyproject.com or go directly to the McCarthy Project Store website. That's www.themccarthyprojectstore.com.
Well, we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy, your host of the McCarthy Project, where we have been attacking life and sports since 2001. And so we're just going to be continuing our discussion. Actually, I'm going to take one step back. I wanted to announce one other thing earlier, but I did not. Actually, two things. One is to let everybody know that the five-star basketball camp is going to be actually in 8 days, May 18th, up at Minnehaha Academy. We are totally excited about working with Five Star. If you check out, actually, I should post on our site, which I'm going to do. I'm going to post all the players that are currently in the NBA playoffs that have came through Five Star. I mean, there's probably three or four per team. So from that standpoint, check out that our website. It has a tab under the Five Star tab. It's got all the information there. Secondly, we are proud to announce that Head Cycling has joined our team in the area of sponsorship. They will be, they're probably one of the leaders in aero wheels and handlebars and stems. And Stephen and Head have a tremendous story of starting in their basement and really being thought leaders in the truest sense, not just simply manufacturers of high quality marketed goods, if you know what I mean. So we are very excited to have those guys. We'll be having some of their technical guys come on the show to talk about aerodynamics, you know, and angles of wind and all these other cool things that those guys know. So we'll have those guys on in a couple weeks. If you want to get more information, just go to headcycling.com. So with that, we're going to move back over to the principles of high impact coaching. And we've been just talking, Sean, a little bit about the, some of the kind of, I always think it's kind of fun to kind of analyze the problem before we go into the solutions, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so, but before I go there, actually, I should introduce you. I sometimes get a little bit ahead of myself, but Sean Goodsell owns the Mental Edge, which he has worked with athletes for as long as I've known him, which has probably been about 10 years now, which he has been fantastically successful. He's got pro athletes, pro golfers, pro triathletes that have gone, that have basically grew up with him, which is, I think, a great testimony from that standpoint, is that you just didn't pick them up when they got there and tried to help fix them, that you actually helped develop them as young kids as well. So from that standpoint, how do you view, or what do you view the problem with coaching today?
Well, let me just say this to start. You know, over the last, I think it's been 27 years now, my passion has been to try to help people live their life at an optimum level. And I started working with a lot of at-risk kids, kids that were on the streets, kids that were struggling with addiction and family challenges and things of that nature. And so my desires to help coaches, and many times coaches are volunteer parents, is really about how do we make the opportunity to mentor kids more successful? How do we take that privilege that we have to be involved in a kid's life, and how do we help kids live at a higher level? So when you talk about the problem, you know, the problem to me is that, number one, I don't think many coaches see the opportunity that's in front of them, and I don't think they expand their thinking or understand what's at stake. And so I would say that that's probably the first problem, is they don't understand what's at stake and what opportunity they have to make a difference in the life of the kids that they coach.
You know, and it's funny because and I think you almost have to be a dad to really appreciate what you just said. Because when you see the opposite side, when a coach does not or says something that your kids don't quite understand, or maybe they felt offended by it, they really are affected in a deep way for while that thought is sitting in their head. You know what I mean? And I look back on the times that I've said things that I had this intention in mind, but the young athlete took it totally from a different perspective. Like, I had a situation one time where there was one young gentleman on a basketball team that we were coaching that was shooting long shot after long shot, three-pointer, and he was just missing wildly. And I told him, in probably a very stern voice, that you shouldn't take those shots, you should move in. Well, he perceived what I was saying as he couldn't shoot. You know, and I think that's what you're getting to, is this, we don't realize what we're saying sometimes. We're thinking we're just teaching, you know what I mean? But we're not using the proper principles or proper way to go about it.
Well, another way to think about that is that there's nothing more devastating to a parent is to know the story and the history of their kid and why they're even playing the sport to begin with. You know, some kids play because they're not finding any connecting points with their peers in school, or some kids have had a history of bullying, or they've had a history of low self-esteem, and so the parent works really, really, really hard to get the kid to, like, say yes to go to the registration meeting, and they bribe them to no end to get them to go to the first practice. And it's almost like they're banking their entire hope that if this works out, it can change the feel of the family and certainly the life of that kid. And then in one swell moment, the coach, with probably good intentions, opens their mouth and undoes every piece of hope that parent was living with, and the spirits drop and the kids shoulders drop and they come home and they get in the car and then the parent says, well, how did it go? And the kid says, I don't ever want to go back there again. And it's another quill out of the parent's arrow that they're shooting to try to help their kids. And coaches don't understand at times that there's a larger story, there's a larger drama, there's a larger picture playing out here, that if they could start by just seeing that it's an incredible honor and privilege to have a young person in front of you looking at you and calling you coach.
Exactly, because that is exactly, I looked at it as I was just communicating that he could be more successful if he moved in. But I didn't know all that back history. And therefore, he took it totally in the wrong way. Or not took it totally in the wrong way. We didn't communicate the right way.
I think that we have to assume when we go into any role where we're working with kids, I think we're at a point in time in our society now where we need to actually assume that most of the kids that are standing in front of us have got at least one significant emotional challenge that they're trying to figure out. And that the answer, in many cases, to their emotional challenge lies in their capacity or ability to have a quality experience with that team. And the coach is, in my mind, the architect of that experience for every kid that they coach.
Dang.
Are you speechless, Steven?
Yeah, that's a lot bigger than it's that big. I think of all the times because I work with almost 300 swimmers and I probably see anywhere from 60 or 70 of them per day. And to have that be a situation or something to kind of contemplate and meditate upon, that is a major responsibility. I mean, when you really take it on, yes, major responsibility.
If you want to do it well and you want to capitalize on the opportunity that's in front of you, then yes, it's a huge, huge responsibility. And on top of that, it's a huge honor to think about the fact that your kid or a kid is taking their time, they're putting trust in your hands, and they're saying, Coach, you know, they can't say this the way they should, but it's, Coach, I need you. I need your help, and I need you to create and architect an experience for me that gives me a reason to come back tomorrow. And there's, you know, I'd like to share a phone call I had today. There was probably 15 years ago, I worked with a young hockey player who was going to a Northwest suburban school, who ended up playing college hockey at the University of Minnesota and ended up playing in the played pro hockey as well. And he called me today and he said, Sean, I need your help because I don't know how to help my kid. Now think about that. This was a long time ago that I met and worked with this kid at the time. And now he's calling me saying, help me with my kid. I mean, I think there's probably hundreds of thousands of stories of volunteer parent coaches that are trying to figure out how in the heck do I capitalize on this opportunity, not only with my own kid, but with the kid that I've been fortunate to have in my presence here for X number of months.
And you see, all right, we're going to move on to the principles because I can't think of anything else to say based on what you said. If you grasp the depth of what you said, then you say, okay, I gotcha. Let's move on. Let's find what we need to do to make this happen. Because you could sit there and talk about the problem, talk about this, talk about that for a long time. But until that responsibility and honor drops on you, then you'll take it lightly and you'll just, you know, pop off whenever you think, you know, somebody's not doing something right, or you won't take the time to measure your words or even to change as a person if it's not going well. Maybe it is the coach's problem, not the athlete's problem. You know what I mean? That type of thing. So So let's move over to the principles. Let's have you kind of, how do you want to approach it? Do you want to go like down like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or do you want to kind of, you have kind of a conversation you want to have around it? Which one? How would you prefer the format?
You know, this is probably going to be a multiple week conversation because there's lots to talk about as it relates to this subject matter.
There's
what I would say basic principles, and then I would say that there are intermediate principles, and then I would say that there are principles that as you grow and as you become more effective at what you do, then you kind of graduate into that, you know, graduate level type coaching. But so let's just start by talking about each principle, and you can ask me questions, and I don't think we should have an expectation that we'll get to all these today, because it's really a work in progress. We're all works in progress. You know, we're all – I'm not here to bash coaches. I'm not here to talk about, you know, how bad coaches are. I'm really here because I want to elevate, first of all, a sense of responsibility. That when I step foot in a room with a group of kids and they look at me as coach, I immediately have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to have my mind right about what my opportunity is. Because if my mind isn't right, if my motivation isn't right, if my capacity to regulate my own life isn't right, then all I'm going to do is replicate my own inadequacies and my own hurts, and my own anger, my own disappointments, my own agenda within the lives of the kids that I coach. And they don't deserve that. So that's why I started with the fact that if you're a coach and if you're in front of kids at whatever age you're in front of them, the first thing that I think you have to embrace is the immense responsibility, privilege, and honor it is to be called coach. Second principle is, I think, the next best thing after you take the responsibilities, you have to understand that it's your job to build a sense of rapport with every kid. And it starts by being able to look at each kid and extract, build a relationship with, grow an affinity for, whatever word you want to use. It's the ability to grow rapport with kids individually by, you know, some simple questions like, you know, what are you hoping to get out of this season? Why did you decide to come out to play? How can I help you have the best experience that you've ever had in your life? And just having the courage to be willing to take some time to get to know each of the kids that you're coaching. I think that's principle number one, is you got to build rapport. You got to build a connection with the kids that you coach.
See, the thing that's interesting, and I'm going to ask a question from a little bit of a, like almost I'm going to take on a personality, you know, if you will.
Yeah.
And say, okay, I am a ex-military dad who thinks it's my way or the highway.
Yeah.
And will listen to what you just said and said, it's not my job to build a rapport they're supposed to follow.
Yeah.
And how would you say to that individual, applying what you just said is building a rapport, how does that personality or style build a rapport with 7- or 8-year-old kids that just want to screw around and have fun?
Well, first of all, That's a really good question, and it's a good persona to follow up on, because I think there are a number of people who have that persona. But here's the way I think about it. I think 7- and 8-year-old kids screwing around is actually part of their job description. Developmentally speaking, that's what they're wired to do, is screw around. And so if my agenda as a military kind of a philosophy that says, hey, you know, it's my way or the highway, if I want to hold on to that philosophy, I'm certainly able and capable of holding on to that philosophy, but it's in direct contradiction to the developmental philosophy of a 7 and 8 year old. And if I want to hold on to that, then I'm basically telling the people around me that I'm willing to be unsuccessful. Because the kids are going to win that power struggle every time. And I don't think it's incumbent on the kids to change. It's incumbent on the coach to architect the experience within the construct of who they have as students, if you will.
Because this leads to the second subject or the next thing that always seems to come up when you work with young kids like this,
uh-huh.
is that there's the one difficult child or the difficult athlete, the one that doesn't listen. You know, I got 7 that do, and this one kid is just not following, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And it's exactly what you're saying, is that they aren't developable enough at that age level to be sitting there thinking from a psychology perspective, how I'm going to work with this coach at a higher level. You know what I mean?
Well, if you think about it this way, Stephen. We have business executives, we have CEOs, we have top salespeople in companies, and very highly successful people who decide to, you know, coach a youth sport. And they use principles every day that is making them a six-figure or more income. And they come to the youth sports arena, and they throw everything they've ever learned out into the wilderness, and they don't utilize any of it. And if I wanted to gain the cooperation of a group of people, I certainly would start by aligning them around a vision that they could all buy into. There's no company in the world that creates success if the vision isn't clear and if they don't have buy-in by the people that are trying to promote the vision. Well, a coach at the beginning of the season is a vision caster. A coach is somebody who's looking to create buy-in. And the way you create buy-in is by understanding why everybody's in it. And if you don't know why they're in it, the reason why they're screwing around and not following what your vision or your action plan is because, number one, they haven't bought in.
You see, and that's where the investment comes in. You have to invest to find out what it's going to take them to buy in.
Right.
And
you have to be willing to take the time to realize that kids don't just buy in anymore because you have the whistle around your neck and because you're the coach. They buy in because you've given them the reason to believe that you are working on behalf of their best interest, that you have their best interest in mind, that you care and that you give a damn about what it is they care about. And if as a coach I can't communicate that to the team of people that I'm looking to coach, then I am, number one, probably misguided in what it takes to be a successful coach. But secondly, I am destined to create problems, create frustration, and probably never really truly capitalize on the opportunity that's in front of me.
Dang, you're like doing it like major league way today. Holy smokes. I don't even know what to say after this. I mean, almost made me want to swear. I'm like, crap, I got to get better.
Well, you know, and I'm glad that you're being willing to share authentically about what's going on in you as I'm sharing this stuff. Because, number one, I never wanted to sound like I'm coach bashing.
No.
You know, that's not really anywhere near my intent. But I am more than happy to hold people accountable to the opportunity of power that they put themselves in voluntarily and hold them accountable for the lack of competency that they bring to the table, because if they don't bring better competencies, they're either not capitalizing on the opportunity or they're actually hurting the people that they seek to actually help. And for that reason, they should be held accountable. The boards that hire or bring these coaches on should be held accountable. because there's no better volunteer network, volunteer force in place right now than youth sport coaches, in my mind.
And see, so much of this responsibility tag, you know, hasn't been talked about because it's just like we all want our kids to be successful. We all want our kids to be successful in school and life and sport and all that kind of stuff. But we don't realize that when we actually sign our children up for a sport, that we're transferring the responsibility and we're saying, okay, you coach, I believe in what you believe in, and therefore I'm going to give you my son and I'm going to support you in what you teach. That is a major responsibility because you're essentially going to be putting your information into my son or my daughter, and that should hold a major place in coach's mind. It should just be, hey, I've done it this way. I was raised this way. Therefore, I'm going to impose my will upon these kids. You know what I mean? I really don't care what you guys all think as parents. You know, I'm just doing this because I want to coach and I'm a winner. You know, you can just sit there and see what you talked about. And all the different CEOs, you know, and all the people that are successful in life outside of sport, and they come walking in thinking that, well, just everybody's going to listen because I'm the parent or I'm the dad or whatever. And it really doesn't hold water over the long haul. Now, you may get some initial buy-in because out of fear and fear alone, but in the long term, you're not going to get where you want to go.
Right. Well, you never buy-in is different than conformity. I can through sheer intimidation, I can get people to conform to what I want them to do. And there's a certain need for a certain amount of conformity. But conformity will never change anybody's life. If I truly wanna make a difference and put my brand forever on the life of a kid, I have to do more than create an environment of conformity. I have to create an environment of transformation, an environment of engagement, an environment of connectivity and relationship power. Those are the things that ultimately end up changing a person's life, not conformity. And I think too many coaches, I don't think they know they're doing it, but I think they think conformity is the end game. You know, conformity isn't the end game. Life transformation is the end game. That's why you have a kid calling you 15 years later who says, do you have any advice for me about how to help my own kid?
All right, we got to go to commercial break. I'm going to let everybody think about that because if you take this last 15 minutes, there's no way you can't be a better coach. And it is simple, but probably the hardest. It's one of those things that easy to roll off the tongue, but probably the hardest things to implement into your life and then into the athletes that you're coaching. So with that, we're going to go up to a quick commercial break and we'll be back to talk more with Sean Goodsell about how to basically put these principles into action rather than just there talking about them.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps. Endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com. We are excited to offer the following products on themccarthystore.com. Innovate Running Shoes, the leader in barefoot and natural running technology. We carry the full line of sizes and colors. Berkey Water Filters, the leader in anti-gravity water filtration. For more information, visit themccarthyproject.com or go directly to the McCarthy Project store website. That's www.themccarthyprojectstore.com.
All right, we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy. Sorry for that little technical difficulty there. We seem to have lost the audio portion of our show. So we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we've been talking about the principles of high-impact coaching. And I just can't even... I mean, I think about that last 15-minute segment. I just to think about the immense responsibility and honor to stand before somebody and how parents have entrusted you to teach principles to their children and to improve their life and improve their performance. Fantastic stuff. Well, John, we had a small technical difficulty. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I know, so hopefully we're good to go again.
Exactly. All right. So, again, this is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we've been talking with Sean Goodsell about principles of high-impact coaching. And so we've kind of laid out the groundwork. Now, just to kind of come back a little bit, you had laid out, you know, basically one and then a couple other thoughts behind you know, the building, the rapport piece. Are there more details below this basic? Because when you mentioned earlier, you got the basic, intermediate, and graduate levels. I mean, that means that there's more information, you know, more depth. But for today's show, do you have, we have just lost connection with Sean again. So I apologize for that. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to work out our technical difficulties, and then we'll be back in about a minute and a half.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps, endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com. We are excited to offer the following products on themccarthystore.com. Innovate Running Shoes, the leader in barefoot and natural running technology. We carry the full line of sizes and colors. Berkey Water Filters, the leader in anti-gravity water filtration. For more information, visit themccarthyproject.com or go directly to the McCarthy Project store website. That's www.themccarthyprojectstore.com.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we have been talking with Sean Goodsell about principles of high-impact coaching. And before we go on to, you know, how it applies, you know, and I think that's always the beautiful part about bringing out some principles like this, do you have any that you would like to add to that list of basics that we've already talked about? I'm sure there are many more before, but for the next... We've got 15 more minutes before we move on to the next segment. What are your kind of thoughts related to? What is the? Are there more principles, or should we? You know, is that going to be you know, a big start to the puzzle.
Well, if you're talking, you know, for me, when I talk about people who are maybe getting into youth coaching for the first time, people that are, you know, that are trying to figure out where's a good place to start, I think it starts by honoring your position, understanding the level of influence that you have, and then the next point of intentional focus is, you know, be real intentional about building rapport, build a relationship. And underneath building a relationship, you know, I guess the thing I would say is it's be interested in the lives of the kids that you're coaching. Understand a little bit about their stories. You know, ask them questions about their day. And, you know, this is basic, but it's rarely practiced. It's make sure you come to the field or wherever you're, or the court or the pool or the ice. Come with a good spirit. Come with a positive, uplifting, encouraging spirit. And because one of the basics is you got to know and be aware of your tone, and you got to know and be aware of your body language, and you got to know and be aware of how your choice of words is either positively or negatively being heard or experienced by the people that you coach. And I think for coaches that are just getting started, those are some really, really good basics that lay the groundwork for them to then capitalize on some of the next things that I'm going to talk about as being important.
Because I'm going to put one other piece to this. This happened recently. I was standing in front of a girls' team, and I have a different way of communicating. I'm a very excitable person, but I'm not a ultimate, like a cheerleader, if that makes sense. I'm not like a, that's all positive all the time, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had somebody that, that one of the girls came up to me and says, you know, you need to compliment us more. And I said, well, is it because I'm not being positive with you? She says, no, you just need to give us more compliments. You know what I mean? And this gets down to your choice of words. And I said, well, do you want me to tell you that you're a winner every day, even if you're not? Well, no. I said, well, then what is it that you're looking for? Because I think kids are almost getting tone deaf to the ultra positive, too. Not only if you're going to be just nasty all the time, but they're getting almost, they realize when they've been, they're getting fed a line, too. You can't be this ultimate bounce off the walls happy all the time. You have to have some sort of that balance between the two. How do you kind of look at that and say, well, I'm not this cheerleader going in as a positive person all the time, and, you know, I want to be a realist. I want to be, you know, give them serious information, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, how do people deal with the things that you're talking about and not being true to who they are?
Well, that's another really good question, and I guess my response to that would be is that you have to kind of understand what the craving of a kid's heart is. You know, what does a kid really want and or need in order to be and become their best? Because that's really what a coach is trying to facilitate in the life of a kid, is how do they become their best? And everybody has a different idea about how to go about doing that, but the way I would respond to your question, and the way I would have interpreted that girl's question or statement to you, would have been not that I want you, Coach Steven, to be positive. It's that I want you to be able to pick out the greatness in me that I can't see. And I want you to tell it to me more often because I don't know what it is. I think that's what that kid is really saying. And I don't think they're asking you to compliment them. I think what they're asking you to do is notice them. And I think there's a big difference between – I think there's a huge difference between being a cheerleader and being a personal development specialist. And I think too many of our coaches think that the way to create self-esteem or self-confidence in a in an athlete is to encourage them. So they make blatant statements of encouragement like, you can do it, or I know, I see it in you, you got great potential. And those statements are the statements that become really, really ineffective because they're not personal. If you went to that girl and said, you know, the one thing I've noticed about you is you take great care to make sure that you are using great form when I'm training you, and that means the world to me because it means that you take seriously what I'm teaching you. And that's a difference between complimenting and noticing what's great or what's positive or what's helpful about what you see in the athletes that you work with and coach.
Because there's a follow-up question right behind this, and I know that in today's world where everybody's read every self-improvement, positive thinking, six steps to success in life through power of positive thinking, and I'm just throwing out names, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Is that we've read so much about all these different be positive, you know, type of things that kids actually know. Or how do you look at it? How do you, what you just said, is that the way to connect with an athlete and blow off all the fluff? You know what I mean? Where kids know the fluff and they know when it's true innately, I think. And so is that the way to kind of get rid of the fluff and get to really communicating with people?
Yeah, I think you've known me long enough to know that I'm not a person of fluff.
Yes.
And I notice flaws. I notice all the things that somebody could be negative about. But there's a way to communicate the way a person is inhibiting themselves or in the way of themselves that empowers people, and then there's a way to do it that disempowers people. And making blanket, fluffy, encouragement, positive statements is like throwing smoke into the air and wondering who's going to see it. But if you make an observational comment about somebody that's personal to them because you took the time to notice and put within a framework what you saw, that does more to generate a sense of empowerment than any statement of fluff that you could ever utter.
Is that fluff word? Is that a technical term?
Yeah, we'll use it as a technical term for BS today. Well, and let me just follow up on that and say, part of the reason why most of us as coaches, and I put myself in this category, I work really, really, really hard at what I say to the kids that I work with. I'm very intentional about the language that I use. And I would rather say nothing than say something in a way that promotes discouragement or promotes disempowerment. So I work as hard at this as I know anybody else does. But here's why we're in a culture of fluff. Because none of us have taken the time, very few of us, I guess I should say, have taken the time to be trained in knowing the subjects that we're trying to communicate to. It's one thing to read a book on positive, you know, optimism or positive coaching, or it's one thing to gain knowledge about a subject matter. It's another thing to know the subject you're trying to teach it to. And I think we are overly inundated with messages of what to do, and we're under-trained on who we're trying to do it with.
Which creates a huge disconnect. It's like the Facebook
generation. A huge
generation.
Disconnect.
Yeah, it's the Facebook world where we know a lot of things about people, but we don't know them.
Yeah, and even generally speaking, what do we know about what kids need to be and feel empowered? You know, that's, if you ask most youth coaches that are showing up for basketball practice tomorrow, what do your kids need today in order for you to be able to impact them long term, and for you to make a difference, not only in their basketball lives, but in their lives beyond basketball. Most people would have no idea what to say to that question.
All right, this is a little new. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to talk about you're going in to be a coach for the first time. How would you prepare yourself? What things will you do to prepare yourself for success? And I think that becomes the next step. We can sit there and say, well, there's a big disconnect. Okay, now how are we going to make that disconnect go away? So we're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk more about how to eliminate the disconnect between coaches and athletes. So be right back in 1 minute.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps, endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com.
This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are discussing high-impact coaching today. And I'm here with Sean Goodsell. But before we go back with Sean, I do have one other announcement as well for Monday's show. I am looking forward to this because I am not a big music guy. But we are going to have our first a professional singer and rapper. His name is Thistle. And I listened to a few of his songs because it talks about getting your war clothes on and I'm ready and all these things, these really simple, meaningful thoughts to me. And so we're very much looking forward to having Thistle on the show next Monday. We're going to talk about the role of music in sport, because I think there's so many people nowadays that walk into the game with their headphones on and really, you know, connecting with the music. And if that music hasn't got the proper message, I mean, it could mess up the athlete for a while, and I don't think kids really realize the power of music. So we're going to be talking with Thistle on Monday about the role that music plays in sports. So everybody come back. We'll be back at 11 Central Time. He'll be right away at the beginning. So that'll be next week. But now coming back to Sean. All right, Sean. I'm going to separate the two questions. Do you have 15 more minutes just to make sure we're on good on time?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Because I think there's two people. We've talked a little bit about more of this kind of power tripping, you know, I'm the leader type, you know, where we're communicating because we know which way, you know, these kids need to go and all that kind of stuff. But
yep.
In today's world, there are so many teams and so many, you know, programs looking for coaches that they're so in need of coaches. So they're pretty much taking anybody that's warm, you know, and that's willing, you know, so to speak. But those coaches usually are not the ones that are jumping ahead to say, you know, I want to be the leader. They're the more, I don't know what the right word was, but the more reserved or a little bit more unsure of themselves or, you know, that type of mentality where they're not walking in, jumping in, thinking that they're going to, you know, conquer the world. They're going to say, okay, I just don't want to screw this up. You know, what can I do? And then let's go over to, or maybe it's the same question. What do you feel on that? Is it the same question of, what do I do to get started, or is it a different angle?
Well, I think, you know, as long as we involve, you know, people involved, as long as we have volunteers that are involved in our youth sport programs, we're always gonna be faced with some similar challenges. We're gonna wonder if we're gonna have enough coaches. We're only gonna be able to service the number of kids that we have coaches for. And those are challenges that every nonprofit or every volunteer organization has. And one thing I would say about that is that if you want the best people to show up and you want people to invest the copious amounts of hours that you're going to ask of them to be involved in something of that nature, then it's my mind that you better give them a lot and you better have high expectations for them, because you're not going to draw the best play, the best coaches and the best people if you're wasting their time and if you're not giving them appropriate training to be successful when they do show up. All they will do is get frustrated, and then they'll pretty much replicate a bad experience, and then they'll tell 10 other people who are thinking about coaching, and now we really have a coach shortage. So, you know what? I may be mistaken, and I may be speaking out of turn here, but I think part of the reason why we have some coaches that really are not doing a very good job is because we don't expect enough of our coaches, and we don't train them enough to be able to be in that special position of being a coach. And I think boards really need to take a look at what they're doing to prepare their coaches to be able to make a difference in the lives of the kids that they're going to be involved with.
Yes. That's all I got to say. Yes. All right. You did it again. I don't know what to do, man. I think you should dang, that's good. All right, we got to move on. Okay, so now we're going off to the next piece. What do we need to do to get ourselves prepared for taking the responsibility and embracing it in a way that is going to be meaningful for the kids, but we don't have to spend, $1,000, on some training programs, or we need to go down and get 17 books. What can we do that will help us be a better coach?
Well, that's a good question, and I'll try to make it really, really simple. Number one, anytime you show up to organize, gather, and try to help a group of kids, you better have a plan. And so you look at your time. So let's say you have an hour, and you look at your time, and you have to map out your hour to figure out what you're going to do, what you're going to need to be able to do it, what resources do you need, and then think about how much time you're going to spend doing each of those things. So the worst thing that a coach can do is come in flying by the seat of their pants and not have a plan. So the first thing I would say is whatever sport you're coaching, whatever age group you're coaching, the younger the kids, the more the plan has to be really pretty precise. The older the kid, you can be a little bit more intuitive, and you can be a little bit more spontaneous within the plan. But I think every coach, every age group coach, needs to come with a plan. So that's number one. Number two, I think you need to think through, and the more you coach, the more you realize the value of this, but you have to think through what could possibly go wrong and think about how you're going to deal with it before it happens. So, for instance, so like when you're coaching younger kids and you have your plan, I think the first thing you do is you come with a sense of enthusiasm. Hey, this is a great night. I'm glad that you guys are all here. Thank you for showing up. I think you need to appreciate kids for taking the time to show up. We're gonna do a number of things today, and my goal is, and you always want to state, my goal as a coach is, that we improve our dribbling today. My goal is that you walk away feeling like you had the opportunity to get better at something. Or my goal is, and so be clear about what your goal is for each thing you're asking your kids to do, so that you can create an opportunity for buy-in with each different drill or each different activity you're going to do. And have a plan for, well, what happens if everything falls apart? What am I going to do if this doesn't work? What am I going to do with Johnny when he's staring at the dandelions? How am I going to deal with that? So,
or when Johnny disrespects you the first time.
Yeah, and Johnny really, I think coaches think of the respect factor differently than I do. I mean, Johnny's not disrespecting his coach. Johnny has his own agenda, and it's not complying with what the coach's is. That's not disrespect. That's group dynamics. And group dynamics all have an element of challenge that the coach has to get their hands on. And some nights coaches have to just realize that this was a night that didn't work according to plan, but that doesn't mean it was an utter failure. It doesn't mean that it wasn't successful. There might have been a number of small things that worked well within a disaster, practice, And coaches have to learn not to be so hard on themselves to think that they got to create the perfect practice for the perfect situation every time they go into the situation.
You know,
those are a couple things that I would encourage, you know, people to do.
Because it really, you know, what I hear you saying is so much as creating an environment, and the coach is the leader of that environment. He may not be the one, you know, like, you know, in creating that environment. That doesn't mean that you're the center of that universe. You know what I mean? That's
right.
Where you're creating an environment for them to learn, rather than putting yourself smack dab in the middle and saying, okay, now follow me because I know the way to go. You know, what's funny is that, and I maybe put this, spin this another way, is that I have always been interested in college coaches that teach coaches and then they go off and do their own thing. You know what I mean? Where
right.
Some coaches know how to teach coaches even to go out and do their own thing, whereas some successful coaches, all the coaches that lead their program aren't able to succeed because they haven't been given the tools that one person did it all or was the is essentially that person in the middle of our. Talk to us a little bit about that type of piece, because I think it's real critical that people realize that they don't have to be the center of the attention as a coach.
Well, I think what the coach, first of all, I think should rarely be the center of attention. I think the players should be the center of attention. I think the team should be the center of attention. But the coach needs to be the architect, you know, of what they're building. What environment are they trying to create? The younger, you know, the more that I work with kids and the more that I watch practices unfold and more that I see kids participating in youth sports, the more I realize that one of our biggest problems is the coach assumes more power and more need, if you will, than the actual players themselves. And because of that, I think it sets up a dynamic where you're asking the kids to meet the needs of the coach instead of the coach meeting the needs of the kids. And to add to that, I would say that when a coach sees themselves as an architect, it just means that they have an idea of what they're trying to build, and then they use the members of their team, they use all the resources they have around them to help generate and build what they're trying to build. If they're trying to build it on their own, then it's most likely going to fail. And then again, that gets back to buy-in. If you want buy-in, you have to have something you're trying to do, and you have to ask people and influence people to come along with you. And if what you're selling nobody wants to buy, then you're going to be standing alone.
And you can't force them to follow. That's the thing, I think, where people then get to the point where they didn't buy in because you made your one major appeal, but now you're going to force them to follow. I've seen that in a one situation where there's a team that this was probably by one of the best coaches that I've ever seen. I don't think he even realized what he did. But we were probably 500. We'd play good one day and then not so good the other. Play good one day. And what I mean by that energy that we play at our best type of position. And when we didn't, we were going out of town. And then he took three practices that week, and two of them were talking about the responsibility of who you were. Who are you in the team? What does that membership mean? And our kids went down and went 7-1 and played in the championship game. And I was always very interested in how he did it. Now, he had a little bit of element of fear and high volume, but he put it on responsibility as well. And the kids responded in a great way. And I think this is what you're getting to. Kids will respond to you if you do it in a proper way and you do it in a way that they buy in. It's funny how you come back to what you just said. How would you comment on that?
Well, I would just say you're right on, and that is, you know, again, if a person plays basketball but they can't dribble or shoot, it doesn't matter what their desire is. They're not going to be successful in basketball because dribbling and shooting are fundamental principles of being able to play basketball. Well, fundamental principles of coaching are you have to gain and develop relationships that result in your ability to influence and be believed in and be trusted in by your team. And if you can't do that, it's not that you're a bad person. It's not that you don't have skills in other arenas. It's that you are a lousy influencer and you're a lousy salesperson to a group of 10-year-olds and they're not buying. So you have to improve your 10-year-old influence skills. And if you want to be a successful, effective developer of young people called a coach, you have to have better than average sales and influence skills of 10-year-olds or you'll never succeed.
See, the reason why I'm laughing, because I get the visualization of this big CEO walking into a group of 10-year-olds
yeah.
and walking out with a big piece of his rear sticking out, and he's walking out the door absolutely livid because they're not listening. And so it's just funny because he didn't even realize he lost half of his rear in the process, and they're over there just having a great time with it. And that's the reason. That's the visualization I went through when you said that you're losing at the game of coaching.
Well, the other thing, Stephen, is that the CEO, most likely, the mindset of that person would walk out and say, "I have a bunch of disrespectful kids who don't understand what it takes to be a winner." And in truth, what's going on is you have a coach who has the wrong mindset, who hasn't worked the coaching sequence in order to gain the buy-in so that the kids will do or become a part of what he's selling. And my guess is that CEO is having the same struggles in his business.
Yes.
Because he can't get two or three of his employees to buy in, and instead of becoming a better influencer, he becomes a more angry dictator.
Yes. And see, this is where the transition goes right. You can sit there and say, oh, now we're getting to life lessons and how your family is run and all those different pieces of the puzzle that you can make the jump from coaching now as a dad. You know what I mean? How are you working with your kids? And it really is just a controlled environment for how your family is working and how you are in your business. I mean, really, you take these principles and you can span them out pretty quickly.
You could literally develop just if you made a commitment to train your coaches around some basic people skills, you could literally change the dynamics and the experience within not only kids in their sports teams, but you could significantly impact families one at a time by providing this kind of training for them.
Agreed 100%. I'm sure you needed that, but you know what I'm saying. I think that's it. That's how we change our society from this wandering around drama queens and kings to actually living life at a more realistic level, because now we're understanding each other, we're communicating, we're on the same page. We may not agree all the time, but at least we're in a position where we can work it out. There are so many people in today's world that can't work things out, and therefore, because there's so many options, they can say, well, that coach didn't like me, so I'm going to go over to this team. That coach didn't like me either, so I'm going over to this team. And we are so it's so easy to go from team to team to team when that person is the problem, not the coach necessarily.
Well, and it may be that the kid is absolutely correct. Maybe the coach didn't like him. But the issue is this. In our society, I believe we live too much to solve problems and not enough in living towards vision. So If you ask most people who are coaching, who are involved in youth sports, what's the challenges that you face? They'd say, well, we face challenges with parents, we face challenges with coaches, we face challenges with kids who have all sorts of different motivations showing up to the venue. Here's the problem. The problem isn't any of those problems. The problem is that we're not living to a vision that's higher and bigger than those problems, so we get stuck in the problems all the time.
Dude, I just limped off the backside with my rear half gone on that one. I think... see, that's what's true, is that we're so busy trying to fix the problem, but the only person that understands the problem is the coach. The other kids are just saying, dude, what are you getting all hyped up about?
Right.
You know, you can just see them. And you're like, you got to fix this. And they're like, well, what's wrong? I don't even know what's wrong. I thought I was doing what you asked, you know.
What if every youth sports board said, the answer to every problem we've faced in the last 10 years lies in having a more significant vision for what we're trying to do with our kids. So let's stop worrying and thinking and putting Band-Aids on these problems, and let's start living to a higher vision of what's possible through our organization.
And invest time in people in the process to help them understand how to implement, to do those things, and all the things that we've talked about, and it takes time and effort. Oh, darn, it makes so much sense.
Well, it takes leadership. It takes somebody to say, you know, there's one person that I can work with to do this. There's eight people that will oppose it, but it's the right thing to do, so we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And it's the person saying, this is these principles, this process, this vision for what we're trying to do is the right vision. It's going to take 5 years to get enough people on this vision, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yes.
Because all we're doing is regurgitating the same problem with different symptoms over and over and over again. And then we wonder why, when our kids come up through the program, why they have a lousy experience. Well, we've never truly addressed the grassroots problem of what's going on. We've put Band-Aids on it. We've tried to put policies and procedures around it, but we've never generated a vision and held people accountable to living to a larger vision that would take care of every problem that we've ever had if we just had the courage to live to the vision.
All right, Sean. We're not going to give away all the secrets today, because I'm telling you, if people would understand, even in that last couple minutes, that is the answer, is that it doesn't make a difference what your personality is. It doesn't make a difference what your style is or what your role is. Is that if you grab a hold of the vision that makes sense, not some 42-line, some fancy consultant wrote that nobody understands. It's just the simple vision of we want to be better people in life and sport, and we're going to attain it by these four things. It can be
right,
a simple...
We're going to utilize the network we have in place, which is coaches, and we're going to provide amazing training opportunities for them that gives them the opportunity to have the tools and the resources and the mindset to be successful. And we're going to make sure, as an organization, our motto is every kid matters, whether you're the star or whether you're the kid just trying to walk and make the team. Every kid matters, and we're going to hold coaches to the standard that every kid matters. No excuses. No excuses. I'm tired. I'm so tired of excuses as to why we short-circuit and shortchange our young people in favor of blabbering, immature adults. It just drives me crazy.
Well, and the funny thing is you could take this even another level is to say, in the United States, there's a Constitution, and then that is what we hold ourselves to, not – what that person says, because that is the higher vision. It's the same concept. It's what our society was built upon. If we really take the time to understand it, that you can actually have a document that's very simple to the point, and you can all hold yourself accountable to that document.
Right.
But it takes buy-in, and it takes pain, because there might be only, like you say, of an 18-person board, only six of them may agree with you. What are you going to do?
Well, and that's when leadership steps in and says, we don't need all the buy-in. We just need to have the right principles to live towards.
Yeah.
You don't want to have people buying in on something that's lousy. You know, buy-in is overrated when what you're buying into is insufficient. Leadership says this is what we need to do, and if I only have two people going with me, I'll take the two in favor of the eight that are bought into the wrong thing.
That is totally almost diametrically opposed to society today.
I know. That's why we're in the crapper that we are.
I'll tell you, because what you're describing, I see it, and it's like, gosh, that's what we used to be as a country. You know, I mean, you could even go. I mean, you go back to the. I mean, we're talking deep, you know, ingrained things, and I think Americans would understand that if they take the time to to listen, and it would be ingrained inside their spirit. They would understand it.
We could talk forever about this. As you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about all this.
Then, all right. So we're going to go. I think, first of all, where can people get a hold of you if they would like more information? Let's go there and start with.
They can go to www.mentaledgenow.com, or they can visit my video coaching site, where there's a video coaching program that people can take a look at, and it's at www.stayinthesportzone.com.
Done. All righty, Sean, thank you very much for your time. I, again, leave with amazing thoughts. I mean, I think if people would take the time to listen to what you're saying, it makes total sense, and all it takes is a little bit of time. You don't need to be a PhD in psychology in order to figure this out.
No. In fact, most things that are powerful are common sense that just need to be put into common practice.
Done. All righty. Well, thank you, Sean,
right,
very much.
Then.
Have a great day.
Yep. See you next week.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Unbelievable. I mean, you think about what Sean was just mentioning. Is that not only tied in high or principles of high impact coaching, but also leadership and being accountable and so many amazingly great subjects. I apologize if Sean's a friend of mine. We've gone back 10 years and we've had numerous conversations like this, and I really, hopefully you guys can feel the depth of it, because there is so much here that if we put into play, we will be changing our community, changing our state, changing our country. And it all could start with how you work with your 6th and 7th grade basketball team or football team or whatever it may be. We can literally change the world to a better place by simply implementing what Sean has talked about. So thank you all for listening. Again, make sure you come to come back to the show on Monday. We're going to have Thistle. He's going to talk about the role of music, you know, as a professional rapper, and he's got a new album out called Free from the Trap. And so come back on Monday. I'm looking forward to hearing what his perspective. And again, if you want to get a hold of Sean, we're going to have all his websites up on our website, which is themccarthyproject.com. Thank you all for listening, and get the word out that we can change the world.
Five Star Basketball, the leader in basketball instruction and camps, endorsed by Michael Jordan, Dick Vitale, and Hubie Brown, and where the teaching never stops. Five Star Basketball Minnesota will be hosting a one-day instructional camp on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be hosted by Five Star, The McCarthy Project, and Grassroots Hoops. For more information on the camp, visit themccarthyproject.com/5-star. XL Athlete is the leading provider of online strength and conditioning and speed development camps. For more information on their training programs and speed development camps, visit xlathlete.com.